I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. There was like a weird crunching sound or something.
Welcome to the Drupal Easy Podcast. My name is Ryan Price, and we have a special interview today with a gentleman named Justin Miller. He's been a system administrator, and he now develops software for the Macintosh and iPhone, as well as Drupal. He does a lot of stuff with files, and we can go and check out some more of his work from DrupalCon DC. He did a talk about Drupal on the desktop. I also want to take a minute to remind you about upcoming Drupal Easy workshops. Go to drupaleasy.com/training to get a list of all of our upcoming workshops. Now here's the interview with Justin.
So Justin, I understand that your primary development machine is a Mac, and you're definitely more of a developer than some of the people we talk to. So why don't you take a second and tell us what tools you use to develop with Drupal?
Sure. Just for text editing, I like TextMate on the Mac. I'm just a really big proponent of the Mac desktop environment, and I do Mac development, so I really have an appreciation for when the software is done right. And TextMate is just, it's like a Swiss Army knife for text editing. It's great. I just do either local development work on my Mac using built-in Apache and PHP setup, or if I'm working on a remote server, I like to use Transmit. For SFTP or FTP, if that's all that's available. And other than that, that's about it. I like to do hand coding. I don't really work with an IDE much. I kind of get a trade-off with doing that on the Mac side. And so I just do straight text editing, and there's some nice integration in TextMate for looking up API calls for Drupal or PHP functions at php.net and things like that.
Well, very cool. And you actually just gave me some good stuff to talk about now. In addition to being a Drupal developer, you developed some desktop software as well. And I know, I actually didn't get to go, but I know you had a talk about this at DrupalCon. Do you want to just jump right in and tell us a little bit about Mac software?
Sure. I've been running my company since late 2006, and I formed it as kind of a hybrid company. So I do web development, almost entirely in PHP, and usually that's in Drupal. And I do systems administration, which kind of goes back to my background before I was doing Drupal work in sysadmin, and that's usually on Linux or BSD. And then I do Mac development on the desktop, and then since last year I've been working with some clients on iPhone projects as well. So I have I do client work on the Mac, as well as I have products, commercial products that I sell that are closed source. So I have a couple products that are generally come out of needs that I have. For example, one of them is called Meerkat, and that's an SSH tunnel manager. And it just kind of makes easier a lot of the things you could do at the command line, but automates it. So I find it really handy when I'm wearing my web developer hat, because I just don't have to hassle with that stuff. But
A good question for you about Meerkat.
Sure.
If I've got a client I'm working with and they say, we will give you FTP access, but we also need to associate your IP address. Is that a good reason to use something like this?
Yeah, it's not going to help you with FTP alone unless you've also got some way of SSHing in. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I take that back. You could use it if you're only able to get into your client's site from a particular IP, and it has to be one IP. And like me, maybe you work on a laptop and you kind of tend to move around, you could use an IP address of some place you have an SSH account and then forward the FTP through that, so that no matter where you are using Meerkat, you could connect to that FTP server through the same SSH server, and then it always looks like you're coming from the same place. And actually, I use that myself, and being able to automate that is pretty handy.
Well, cool. So I think that's something we definitely will link to in our show notes, and people might want to check out if they have a sort of draconian security protocols like that with their clients. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So you've got some of these tools you develop. Were you going to go ahead and list some other ones, or?
Sure, I can. I mean, I just have two commercial products of my own. Aside from Meerkat, I have one called Pucka, which is a Delicious client for Delicious social bookmarking. And you can use it with anything that has an API like Delicious, and it supports multiple clients. And I wrote that just out of a need for needing to post to one more than one Delicious account. Aside from that, I've done work with clients. A lot of it I can't really talk about specifically, but what I tend to like to do is, and this ties back to Drupal, is work on Mac development that integrates with a Drupal backend, and that's what kind of led me to my DrupalCon talk this year.
So, and is this something that you're primarily doing with clients? Like, is it that they want to update their Drupal site from the desktop, or that they want to get information out of their web backend? What sorts of stuff are you talking about here?
It's usually the latter. I mean, there's a lot of products already out there on the market that will work with Drupal's built-in blog API if you just want to get content in. And I actually mentioned that in my talk kind of early on, as kind of it ships with Drupal the way it comes. And that's how you'd make a blog post or a story or page or maybe a custom content type from a desktop or a mobile client. But what I like to focus on is two-way APIs and getting other kinds of data out. For example, maybe the type of thing you're working with in your Drupal website is based on files, whether that's photos or videos or whatever. And so I like to work on things that allow you to integrate that with maybe a desktop client that is already doing photo management or something like that. Or the other side of this is I've done some work with clients who need to manage user data in a central way but don't have some other kind of backend that's already doing that. So say they have a desktop client. I can give you an example. I did some work with a client who does printing software for the Mac and the PC, doing print job management and paper handling and things like that. And they wanted a way to do statistics tracking. And so I used Drupal for that because it's already, you know, it's got a great feature set for anything based around the user and their content. And so we were just able to do custom content types and associate that with users and then make that work with the desktop client and set it all up and just build on what Drupal already provided.
So would this sort of be like a private application that only this developer has, or is the data coming in, you know, are the users somehow phoning home with their desktop app? How does that work?
That kind of example, they would probably be in an enterprise environment or an academic environment, and they would set up, or their administrator would set up their client software to just take care of the backend stuff, and they may not even need to know or need to care about the Drupal site, but for the person who's running the network or running the system, it provides a great way for them to go in on the web and actually look at this data that's being aggregated and get it out in a number of different ways.
All right, very cool. So you talked a little bit about files and working with files. You have worked on Drupal.org on some projects that have to do with files, and maybe not something that everybody needs to use on a regular basis, but some of them are Dev API and file server, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are these things that you wrote yourself or you're contributing to?
Most of the modules I've contributed to have actually been written by one other person named Arto Bendikin. He's user Arto, A-R-T-O, on Drupal. He's a pretty prolific Drupal author. He's a friend of mine. And we had some mutual clients and we're working on some projects. And a lot of the projects I worked on, I either ported to Six, some work that he had done originally, or just further went off in some more specialized areas. And File Framework's a good example. It's now maintained by someone else on Drupal 6. And it's kind of an abstracted way of putting files in your system and using distributed backends to store them, as opposed to the way Drupal does file uploads into a folder. And then on top of that, this Dev stuff, Dev API, and then built on top of that, File Server, and then one module I did write, File Relations Server, they have to do with interacting with the files in your Drupal website over WebDAV. And for anyone who's not familiar with that, it's WebDAV is distributed authoring and versioning, and it's something that's supported in Apache. And what it is kind of like FTP, where you've got a file and folder metaphor for getting things out and putting them in. But the difference is you actually put them in, as opposed to regular Apache, you just take files off of it. And so the way this works practically is if you're on Windows, you would use the Explorer, or if you're on Linux, you might use Conqueror or the GNOME file manager. Last time I checked, I think it was called Nautilus. And so the way you normally would manage files, say on an FTP server or an SFTP server or your local system, You can also use WebDAV. It's just another protocol that sits along next to those. And what File Framework and the DAV API let you do is manage Drupal file nodes in that mechanism. So you could be looking at a folder of things on your desktop, and it actually represents file attachment nodes in your Drupal website.
And so, before there was cloud storage like Dropbox and things, this is generally how, if you wanted to have a remote mounted file system, you used WebDAV. And it's quite possible that they're using this technology. They're just hiding it from you now and abstracting the endpoint, right? Another example I think you could say is Apple's MobileMe service, or the Microsoft one is called Cloud Space or something along those lines. There are a lot of these now, sort of like online file hosting solutions that are available, that WebDAV has existed for years, and they're just sort of making it really insanely user-friendly now.
Yeah, that's right. MobileMe is a great example. Apple uses it with their iDisk product so that you have a folder that you can open on any computer anywhere on the network and get a hold of this stuff. But yeah, like you said, there, it's starting to, just because of the nature of it, it was kind of low performance because there's a lot of chattiness in the network going back and forth when using this, compared to something like FTP. And so it's just starting to come around, I think, now that we've got the kind of move the bar up on processing power and network power and always being connected, you know, network bandwidth and always being connected. And so, yeah, a lot of things, I mean, it's a standard, and any operating system you're running, you can pretty much be guaranteed you've already got something on it that can talk WebDAV. And so File Framework was a way of bringing that to Drupal. So, I mean, just to give you a practical use case for this, if you've got a Drupal website set up with File Framework, and maybe you wanted to turn around and publish any new JPEG nodes, because the files are nodes in this system, you want to publish any JPEG photos that get added to the system out to the front page, and you could then put those in an RSS feed. What File Framework could let you do, besides having these nodes, would be to have a folder, like a server address that somebody connects to in their Windows Explorer, and then drags their JPEGs into a folder. That's all they have to do, copy them into a folder, and they get created as nodes on the system. And File Framework can do things like pull out EXIF data on photos, so you get geo-coordinates and the model of the camera and all that kind of rich data. And that's what File Framework does for you on Drupal. So it's not a particularly simple system, but it's really powerful. And if that's the kind of thing you might need, File Framework has a large feature set for that kind of stuff.
Well, fantastic. Shifting gears a little bit, you've also contributed to a couple of modules called Trace and Boost. Do mm-hmm. you want to give us a little bit of background on those?
Sure. Trace I ported from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6, and it's a developer tool. What it lets you do is log all of the hooks that are being fired off in your Drupal website. Mm. So a good example might be you want to see all the places the menu hook is being called. And so you could turn on Trace and have it track menu hook, and then that would be logged to a file someplace that you could track, similar to the way Apache logs. And you could actually have it sent to Apache's log right in line with your other stuff.
All right, you have to stop talking because I'm downloading this right now. No, I'm just playing around. But yes, it sounds very cool. And then we have Boost, which I know has definitely grown in popularity in the last couple of months as people are now starting to deploy bigger and bigger Drupal sites.
Right. What Boost lets you do, so to give a little bit of background here, Drupal has built-in caching mechanism that you could turn on or off. And when you turn it on, what it essentially does is take all the different requests that go together to make a Drupal page, and those are usually SQL, you know, SQL queries, pulling things out of your database for different parts of the page and assembling them all together. And then it takes that one page that comes out of that and remembers that in the database, so that if you've got caching turned on for the right type of user in the right circumstance, the system can just pull that one page out and send that to them instead of reassembling this every time. And what Boost does is kind of takes that one level further. It puts all these individual pages that have been built onto the file system as HTML files. And then what happens is, and this only really works for anonymous users to your Drupal site. So this is, Boost is not a particularly good way of scaling a site where everyone's logged in. But it's designed for anonymous users, so a news type site would be a good example. What will happen is when people come in, if Boost is turned on and the conditions are right and a page is found in Boost's cache, it will serve it with Apache without even using Drupal or MySQL or even PHP. This stuff is already static HTML, and Apache has been serving that kind of thing since the beginning. I think probably approaching 10 years now, if not more, maybe a dozen years.
So and then so are you saying that basically Drupal doesn't even get bootstrapped at all? We're just loading this file.
That's right.
That's a probably, in comparison to regular Drupal caching, an even more significant increase. Like you're saying, Apache is really great at serving files.
Right, yeah. It's tremendously faster because PHP isn't even involved. In MySQL, there's no SQL queries. And so, yeah, it could be tremendously fast. It's good for your front page, which is probably your most complicated page on a lot of sites. And, it just serves that right off the disk, just as though you were back in 1996 and just making HTML pages that you FTP up to a folder. And it still has the same kind of cache management where it'll recognize when hook node API is called and a particular node is updated, and it'll just delete that HTML page out of the cache so that it gets regenerated the next time it's needed. So what it does is steps in and kind of takes over and replaces Drupal's built-in caching. And so the same on-off switch is there, but it's either off or it's Boost on, and you're not using the database at all for the caching. It's all done through Boost in the file system. And so it's a pretty good module, and it's saved a number of sites that I've worked with that have just been really busy right out of the gate and needed something.
Well, fantastic. Definitely, if you've got a big site, you want to check this out. So the story I always like to get out of people on podcasts like this is what brought you here? So what were you working with before Drupal or maybe even before web development? And how do you get to now live on the West Coast?
Sure. I guess I could give you a bit of my background. I started programming as a kid, just like a lot of us who are doing programming now did. But as far as web development, I started in the mid-90s, I guess in about 96. I just found Perl. I was in college at the time. And I started using Perl because that's all I really found was available. This is back when CGI scripts, and you had to print out the HTML headers at the top of your script or else you'd get a 500 error and all this kind of stuff. And I found PHP a couple years after that, 98 or 99. And so just for some personal projects and working part-time as a student trying to develop websites, I got into PHP and MySQL. I ended up leaving school in 2000, right about the same time I was working at a web hosting company in Troy, New York, which is now based in Manhattan, called Voxel.net. And they're at VOXEL.net, but that's also the company name. And I became the CTO there. It was a startup with some student friends. And I did a lot of tuning of the stack we had going there, which was Apache and PHP and MySQL and a lot of web development customers. And from there, I ended up working at another web hosting company called HostRocket from 2001 era till 2003 or so, again doing sysadmin. So all along, I was kind of using PHP and that whole development environment for my own projects and occasionally for sysadmin tools. But more than that, I was doing systems administration, supporting the developers we had at the company or supporting clients who were doing development. And then I ended up moving to Virginia and then later in D.C. in 2003. And in 2004, I took a job with a startup called Echo Ditto, who's also still going. And they're based in D.C. and New York and Boston now. And they do strategy, internet strategy, and technological development for what started as political campaigns and nonprofits and is now branched into commercial businesses as well. And so, again, I was a sysadmin there. And so I supported our team of developers who would build the client projects. And right from the bat, we were using Drupal. So that was my introduction to Drupal. I had been using PHP at that point for 5 years or more. And I'd kind of got burnt out on it, and because I was reinventing the wheel a lot, and there weren't a lot of strong frameworks for tackling the kind of stuff that we take for granted now, user management and session management and content management in general. And so Echo Ditto had come out of the Howard Dean campaign in early 2004, and they did Drupal was used pretty heavily on that in what became it was called Dean Space, and then it became Civic Space. And this is back in, I think, like Drupal 4.3, 4.4 days. But again, I was doing sysadmin here, and we did a lot of projects, and nearly everything was based on Drupal. So I got to really know it well from a sysadmin point of view, because I had to make sure the servers were up and handling the load. And I did a lot of work at that time, both in kind of tweaking just the Apache and PHP that Drupal ran on, but also helping the developers tweak the code where I could, and some work with content delivery systems too, like Akamai.
And right, which makes sense for something like Boost, maybe, now when you're talking about serving static files. I mean, exactly. Is it possible with Boost to serve them distributed in nature?
I suppose you could.
I mean, definitely, you were talking about the file framework, and I think one of the advantages there is to give the ability to use a CDN, right?
Yes, on the back end, and it's still served out through your local Apache. So neither Boost nor File Framework have really been designed with using a CDN on the front end so much. It would have been great to have something like Boost back in like 04 and 05 when we were doing some of these really busy sites. That's something. I guess Boost is really made for working on a single server or maybe a couple servers that could share the same file system that was storing these Boost HTML files. But that's certainly a direction it could go in. It's just most of my contributed work in Drupal has been based on clients who have particular needs, and so that's just not a direction that it's gone in so far.
And then when did you decide, I'm going to be Justin Miller, Drupal developer, Mac developer, and you're not working with a big team anymore?
Sure. I guess in mid 05 I had my first taste of actually developing my own Drupal module, and I did that. I was working on a project with the United Nations World Food Program when I was at Echo Ditto, and I really liked it. I mean, it was just really cool how you could start with just the hooks and have a working module with all this framework around it. And so I guess another year after that, mid-2006, I was thinking about striking out on my own. And based on kind of the mix of things I had done, I'd been learning Mac development on my own time. And also at Echo Ditto, we were a Mac-based business. And so being a sysadmin and IT guy, I was doing a lot of kind of back-end stuff on Macs. And then my sysadmin background and starting to get into web development more in my day-to-day role, in late 06, I decided to strike out on my own. In November 06, I started Code Sorcery Workshop, which is a name I had. I had it as my email and my domain for years before that, but I actually formed a company and went out on my own with the goal of doing these three things in kind of a hybrid business: sysadmin, web development, and Mac development. And then later that also became iPhone development. And my goal was always to be a one-person operation, and it gave me certain flexibility to kind of move wherever I wanted to go physically and explore the tech directions that I wanted to go in. And so I started that in 06, and 2.5 years later, I'm still at it and enjoying it a lot.
Very cool. So is there a moment you can trace back to when you said, wow, this is Drupal, this is bigger or more complex or easier than I ever really thought it was?
Well, I guess there were a couple moments. I mean, the very first time I learned how to write a Drupal module, which would have been in early 2005, my friend Tim Jones, who's now at the EFF, just sat down with me and showed me how hooks worked. And right off the bat, I was just amazed at how much you get out of the box. I mean, if you only need a module to do one thing, you write one function and you've got all this structure around it, the users and page tracking. And so that was a huge eye-opening moment for me. But that was early on before Drupal was really gaining a lot of traction. And I guess the next moment for me was gearing up for DrupalCon DC this year. Just the amount of people involved, and I mean, there were something like 1,400 attendees, and just seeing the diversity of projects that are being, you know, that Drupal's being used for, it just speaks so much to all the power that's built into it, and all the kind of the stability and robustness, and all these things that have been fleshed out over the years of development. It's just amazing some of the things you can do with it. So that was a huge moment, and that's when I kind of realized, yeah, there's no turning back for Drupal now. It's really getting big.
Yeah, I have to agree. DC was my first DrupalCon, and it was just fantastic. It was really eye-opening. I thought I knew what I was, you know, involved with the last, you know, 2.5 or so years, and mm-hmm. I just had no idea until I really, you know, DrupalCon is the mecca of the Drupal community. Everyone is there, you know, and is in within reason, and everyone is there for the same reason, which mm-hmm. is very nice. Speaking of DrupalCon, why don't you tell us a little bit about the talk that you did? What was the title of the talk?
I think I called it Beyond the Web, Drupal Meets the Desktop, and then in parentheses, and mobile. the idea was, I just kind of wanted to talk about, I mean, it was half wanting to share what I knew with the DrupalCon audience, but also half an exploration for me to see what else was out there. At that point, I had done a lot of work with this file framework and web dev work, and I wanted to see what else was out there for as far as getting things into and out of Drupal, things that aren't already on the web. So you've got mashups and things, you know, one web thing mashing up with another web thing, but there's so many different ways that you can put things in or get things out of Drupal from a desktop client or a mobile client, and that's stuff I had started to explore in my client work and was interested in working on with some of my Mac products. And so I just set out, and honestly, I spent a day or two just going through the contrib module listing on Drupal.org and pulling out about 300 modules that did that kind of thing. Wow. And then looking at them and figuring out, okay, are they in active development? Are they any good? What are they doing? And how can I group them? And how can I relate them to each other? And then that's what my presentation was on at DrupalCon. And I just talked about, I had four main sections of it, just basic getting things in on the desktop. This is using like blog API and the stuff I mentioned before. Things like authentication, keeping all this stuff secure and working with enterprise systems and mobile clients. And then I talked a little bit towards the end about some of the more complicated ways you can do this, either with the XML RPC hook that's built into Drupal Core or the services module, which is a whole suite of ways of building two-way APIs for any kind of client you would want to hook up to Drupal. And I think the talk was pretty well received, and I think I opened a lot of eyes of people who had no idea you could do this kind of stuff with Drupal and the kinds of things you could hook it up to.
So I'm sure that we will get the link to your DrupalCon presentation and post it in the show notes if anyone wants to go and dig deeper and get a little more info.
Sure, yeah. I've got the one of the nice things about DrupalCon this year in DC in March was that all the sessions were recorded and put up really quickly. So you can download a free video of the entire presentation, and I put the slides up as well. And all those modules that I kind of distilled down and talked about, I've got links to all of them on Drupal.org as well. So yeah, we can put that link in the show notes.
Great, fantastic. So you've got a lot of interesting Drupal-related projects that maybe not everyone would need to use and install, but definitely great that now even just for myself, I'm excited about, you know, checking out some of these things and maybe working on a system to get a you know, bunches of photos into Drupal without using web forms. That sounds like a really fun application. And then what sorts of things are you looking to do in the future with Drupal or with your desktop software or anything?
Yeah, I kind of want to keep the thing I got going now, which is working in kind of those three fields together. I'm continuing to do client work with Drupal and systems supporting it. One thing I'd like to do as kind of a personal project is, well, a personal business project is, so I sell my Mac applications through my website, and aside from going down the road of UberCart and getting a more kind of, you know, sales shopping experience going, I'd love to do some integration with CRM, customer relation management, and the licensing system that I use, so that people can, say, retrieve their license codes for their software and that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people, it seems, in the Mac software community have rolled their own solutions for that kind of stuff. And I know a fair number of Mac developers who run Drupal websites. And so I'd love to build some tools, both for myself and for them, as open source tools for that kind of scenario for Mac developers, and maybe, depending upon how it's abstracted, for anybody who's selling software products on the web, and to make those work with a Drupal website and kind of have the whole package. That's one direction I'd really like to go in. I've kind of tinkered with some things, and it's just a matter of time and getting to it and getting some of them out the door.
Well, that sounds really fun. And if any of our listeners out there want to get in touch with you and maybe work on something like that, where can they go? Do you have a personal website you'd like to point them to, or maybe a blog or company website?
Sure. Company website probably works best, just because I mean, as I mentioned, I'm a one-person company, so the blog voice there is me. I'm talking about what I'm working on, both in Drupal, which is actually aggregated up to Planet Drupal, the website that maintains kind of a central point of all the Drupal feeds. But that website, my personal website, is codesorcery.net. And that's probably the best place to find out more information about, I try to write about the different solutions that I'm working with, or software packages, or things I'm evaluating, or tech software I'm excited about. You could also connect with me on Twitter if you want. My username is Incanus77. That's Incanus77. That's probably the best place to go. I'm in Drupal.org. My username is just Justin Miller with a space. No screen name. It's just my name. And you can find me there too.
Well, very cool. Thanks so much for talking to us today, Justin, and definitely keep us up to date with your projects. And if you've got anything new and cool coming down the pike, please let us know, and we might give a little blog about it. At DrupalEasy.com, we've got some, in addition to our bi-weekly Drupal news podcast and these interviews, if you follow our Twitter account, which is DrupalEasy, all one word, we've got quick tips coming out just about every day, a little nugget of help with Drupal, something that you might not know, whether they're undocumented features or things that are just best practices. We're trying to help out people that are learning Drupal. And we have a lot of good blog posts and content going up on our blog, and also gets fed to Drupal Planet. So please look for those. And thanks again to Justin for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah. We'll see you on Drupal.org, I'm sure.
All right, take care.
All right.